Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Yeah, welcome to
the Elliot Steele Show. I'm Lila.
We're having a serious technical difficulty here, and it's involving our computer, and I'm not able to.
We can't get up the internet, so we can't get on our blog talk.
Right,
so,
we need to work our switchboard.
So please be
patient. So, George, I know you're probably there, but I can't switch you on at this moment.
Because
we
can't get the internet up, so.
And the way that we did this, the way we connected was through the telephone, which is how we connect anyway. But unfortunately, I can't get to my switchboard, nor can I get my computer operating properly.
Leo, will give me that Unity Consciousness, I'll continue reading that while you try to hook up here.
Oh. Okay.
If you have that. Well, let's see what happens.
We were going to talk about it. It would be difficult to... For you to start
maybe I can reread a few things that would help.
Okay, we can do that. So just wait a minute and see if we can.
So we'll see what happens. I'm really sorry, folks.
Yeah, this looks like it's happening, but I don't know. Mm. It went this far before, so.
And then we just didn't get on the
right
screen that tells us. I hope we haven't been hit by the virus.
There it is. There we are.
So maybe we're on.
There was some technical glitch, folks. I'm sorry, but it's going to take me a minute. Hopefully, my browser will open.
It's still on pause, so
don't do anything.
It's,
yeah, this comes up. So bear with us here for a minute. If all works well, George and I will, and Lila will be talking about Unity Consciousness. No, I can't. And I have to get to our browser here, Mozilla. Get this up.
Showing
we're not. Oh, there we go. Okay, we're. The internet's very slow. Must be a lot of people on the internet tonight.
I don't know whether it's that or whether it's our computer.
It'd be our computer too.
I hope we haven't been hit with that horrible virus, that worm.
Yeah.
Makes me kind of scared thinking about it.
Yeah, just give us another minute here until our browser picks up.
Just take a couple
minutes. It's very slow.
Causing it to happen.
I don't know either. We had a thunderstorm pass by a little while ago. It might have affected it, but I'm not sure. Hang in there. We should be at the switchboard in a minute. Seconds.
It'll just be a couple of seconds, folks.
Yeah.
Please be patient with us.
Well, they will be. They're here to listen to George Dixon.
Oh, George, be patient. We're just coming up now. I don't know what the problem was.
The problem was that we needed to...
We don't want to be on bookmarks.
No, I needed to go here. Okay, hold on. So, folks, we're getting into our blog talk radio here. And getting into our switchboard.
Just going to take a minute?
Yeah.
We hope.
Seems to work. It's good.
Oh, good.
See how many listeners we got? We had over 3,200 listeners. 32,000 listeners.
31,239.
Hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's our switchboard.
Okay.
Oh,
there's George. Yeah. Okay. Hang on one second. Hey, George.
How you doing?
Oh.
Rolling on.
Thanks for being patient. I don't know what was wrong with our computer.
Yeah, it just wouldn't go on. And, some extreme slow thing happening. I have to spend some time and clean this thing out with a couple of security things or something.
I don't know.
Defrack it. You know?
I hope we don't have the worm, whatever it is.
So, anyway.
So, welcome to the show. Sorry about that.
Well, if you had the worm, you wouldn't be talking to me right now like we are.
Okay. Well, that's good news anyway.
Right.
Think positive.
No, this particular worm, what it does is it's very weird, because I think what this worm does is it gets into your system, right? It gets into the system, but it doesn't disable it, because what it does is it tries to get
It
mines all your information, so it doesn't close you down. And it wants you to continue, but it's inside. You know what I mean?
You know what? You think too much. Wait until something happens where you can't go any further. Then, put two and two together.
That's what this one was. That's what I heard. They announced.
Well, that's what I heard, but that doesn't mean that you have that. So.
Oh no, I don't. I don't know if I have it or not. But I'm just saying that that's it's more likely. If I do have it, it might be that bug. But.
Well, I did hear you talk it through, so, it's not that we had dead air here.
You could, because I got my alternative here. my alternative is where I wrote down the number of my host pin and everything else, so I can get in case my...
in case something goes wrong with the switchboard, so...
Yeah, so that...
Because we've had other things happen to us at different times.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How it is. All the folks listening, they're on computers, too, and they know exactly what it is like.
We've lost a couple of times on this. Got all kinds of...
So tonight we're going to talk about unity consciousness.
Unity consciousness. I was thinking about that earlier in the day, and, I'm just trying to get an idea here what the Mayans... with the Mayan cycle, this unity understanding that we're going to, of what we're experiencing.
Would you say that the Mayans predicted that as part of the time that we're in now?
No, I think they predicted the ebb of the consciousness that is going to be expressed. And I'm just relating this to the G Summit meeting that's going on over in Europe, where you have G9 meeting. You have nine different countries.
Yep.
But if nothing else, I mean, that's an act in unity, and it's a unity of nations.
G20, though, right?
Or G20, whatever it is. I haven't really been following.
No, it's because they got a G8. I didn't know they had a G9.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
They do now. George just christened them.
Oh, so we got a G9 now. Hey.
Well, whatever it is, it's a unity understanding or unity consciousness, if nothing else, at least bringing... ideas to the table, and I think it's good, but that acts both ways. This afternoon I heard about that incident in Binghamton, New York.
Wasn't that awful?
I mean, it was terrible. I mean, I'm looking for good news, but yet anything and everything is coming to the surface, and I think it's terrible.
This has been an ongoing
thing.
What bothers me so much about that is that we've had a series of those in the last 3 or 4 months. We had another 14 person out in Iowa or something. And then there's been a whole series of these mass killings in the last 3 to 4 months.
But that
and, in different states. And all of a sudden we're seeing this big thrust, this government thrust for arms control, okay, mm-hmm. in this country. And what they're doing is right now they're stopping the supply of ammunition for small arms, all right? Mm-hmm. And the government has bought up all these and has stopped and has told the ammunition companies to not sell any more of these to the small
Well, that's the negative side of unity consciousness. Let's kind of try to focus on the positive side of unity.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Well, that's the negative side. If this has happened several times in several different places.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm seeing.
But that's the negative side of common thinking.
But this is a typical conspiracy type of situation, where we go back to MK Ultra, okay?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that.
We go back into all these things. That the only thing that they want to do is be able to take the arms away from the United States citizens. If they can degun everybody, okay, take those guns away, or at least stop them from having ammunition, all right, then what happens is all of these people with guns, all right, will would be worthless.
I don't think that's going to happen. You have so many people that are hunters in this country, and the culture is around them.
But they're taking the bullets away from these people, and these are the people that are going to St. Louis right now. They're going to there's on April 15th. I heard that there will be major march, major protests around the country, patriot protests around the country. All right, they're expecting millions upon millions of people, libertarians, conservatives, and NRA. I mean, everybody's involved with this, and a huge mass conservative protest.
It's always been part of the American culture. It's like stamping out our culture.
No, but it's protesting. They're protesting they're protesting gun control. They're protesting. They're stripping away the freedoms. They're protesting Obama's bailout plans. They're protesting
some of that I agree with. I think Americans should be able to carry guns.
No, but all I'm saying is that they're out there now. I mean, they're there. There's a huge force
that's
out there.
Would you say that's a unity consciousness of
What do you think, George?
Well, I would say it is connected to a unity or a unity thought or a unity understanding. And even though it may be negative to you what you think. It has a life or a fulfillment within itself.
Right.
And you mentioned before about MK Ultra and so forth and all these mind control programs.
Right.
I understand this stuff was real. It is real. And there's a lot of things that were put in motion in the past that even though they were bad, they must fulfill themselves, and they will fulfill themselves
regardless
of what we think.
No, that's probably true, huh?
And in a situation like this, it's not changing it, but influencing it or altering it. Just like you could talk about a potential threat, before the threat meets, but you have the opportunity to deflate that threat, beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and it's putting it in motion or not.
Well, I keep thinking about what Lungol said in his when he talked about these times, and he said that everybody would start going crazy, the world would start going crazy, stark raving mad, all right, and he says that's going to happen, and he said the fifth night and sixth day were the times when he said this would happen, and they are. The people are going absolutely stir-craving freaking mad.
Where? I don't see
everywhere,
that.
Around
no,
the country, around
true.
The world. You're having protests. You're having mob rule.
It doesn't
mean
that people are crazy just because they protest. And there is no mob rule.
All right, let me not
protesting.
Use crazy, even though you said crazy.
Well, maybe not crazy, but maybe snapped. We all follow a certain line, and sometimes, we just have to break from the normal routines.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's what he said was going to happen, because what's happening is we're being fed with so much information, so much that we can't contain it anymore. We only get 24 bytes per second, that we can comprehend.
Well,
so,
that's what, yes. Mm-hmm.
24. And so we're overwhelmed. And by being overwhelmed, people go crazy. They just take in all this information and they can't contain themselves. And that's why you have...
When a circuit gets overloaded, it shuts down.
Yeah, or it blows up first,
In this case, I think it has shut down in a sense where it's reached a crisis situation.
That's right.
Where now it's a matter of letting it fall and picking up the pieces.
Uh-huh.
Or in the case of how we did think about MK Ultra and so forth, accept the fact that it has happened, and what do you do after that? Now you don't do it again, or you relook at the properties that you're playing with,
uh-huh.
and it's if nothing else influencing other than through normal communications and using that for the good. Just like remote viewing and so forth, we have the abilities, to see within the future and in the past, but also other realms of reality. But it's a matter of incorporating it into our normal way of thinking and living and experiencing.
And do you think that's for everyone or just for some people?
Well, I think it's for everybody. you can't restrict this to only a few. I mean, it's a property we all have.
But
and
don't you be taught how to use it?
Excuse me?
You'd have to be taught how to use it or how to access it.
Well, you can learn the fundamentals, but you have to learn how to use it by just putting it in motion. And
you,
you know, very simply, it's instead of thinking something, feeling something, or dealing with a situation from a different perspective, and if nothing else, from your emotions rather than your intellect.
Have you tried that, George?
Sure.
Remote viewing, has it worked?
Sure it does. It's just tuning into those finite qualities that we have, just using them. You know, it's like hearing. We have excellent hearing, but we don't use the properties that that the ears have, or what the hearing has. And part of that is not the de-evolution, but in not using it, you know, we lack the use of the facility. And I mean, if you take a person and put them in a dead forest, you know, within a year's time, you know, he could identify sounds that you couldn't even imagine hearing, but he hears them. It's just focusing the attention, the concentration, the attention of the mind, and just using the facility.
Well, you know, I think it was in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
That was about the boats coming in. People
didn't see the Indian, because they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So they had never had that experience, and so they didn't really see them come.
No.
Until they were there.
That's right.
All right.
And then they realized it.
And then they realized, holy hell, these guys are here
invading.
And invading my and they enslaved them. But all those people in Columbus said Columbus when he went into the West Indies is where these people had never ever seen people like that or seen ships.
They'd never seen
or
ships.
Anything. So you know that was all new to them. So it took so they weren't even aware of it until it was right on top of them.
Well, that was the unity consciousness that they shared that they tapped into. And they use that as a vehicle, just like the apparition they've seen out there in the water. You know, that is separate from, let's say, the person who landed on the shore. So automatically they would connect with it. It's because the consciousness is connected with it.
Right.
But if
right.
you take that one step higher in a unity consciousness, instead of the thinking consciousness, actually the physical consciousness, what they have in common is that they all have the same properties, water within their body,
right.
within the world around them, but also within their body.
Yep.
So if nothing else, they both share the unity of having water as one of the main vehicles in their conscious motion.
Well, I'm finding that people are creating a much stronger unity consciousness, if you will, just because of the mass media.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the internet.
And far more because of the internet. So
mm-hmm.
you're creating this much larger consciousness, a technical consciousness, number one, on how to operate a computer, but secondly, on how to mine information, you know what I mean? And from the internet, and we're absorbing this information. So it's like...
What information are you talking about, Leo?
What's that?
What information are you talking about?
Anything you want. Okay, there's a place to go get it. It's a well, you know. The internet is a well.
Well, it also brings people together.
Hey, guess who just joined us? George?
Anthony.
Yes. Hey.
Welcome, Anthony.
Well, Anthony says water is consciousness and creates life.
That's right. Now, I want to go back now to... you know, the other properties that the natives experienced and the pilgrims the people that landed.
Before we do that, I want to tell Anthony.
Well, just
where the hell have you been, Anthony? We've been wondering where you've been for quite a long
time. I've been missing you.
Did you? The last we heard,
he was on an airplane.
He called us on an airplane, And he said that that he was going to buy the Wonder Drug. You remember that one from Humble, Jim Humble? George?
Yep, yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Jim Humble stuff? And Anthony says, it work, work, work. I don't know if it means it works.
Oh, he's
but,
been working.
That's the last we heard from him, that he had gotten this, that he had bought the stuff, and that was the last we heard from him. He got it. He said. So what did you do with it? Did you try it or what?
Well, anyway.
Anthony, give us a call for crying out loud. We haven't heard for a long time.
Anyway, George, go ahead. In what you were saying.
Well, I'm looking more at the subconscious link. Connection that we have with other human beings or with other beings, period. And that is the water, because we are all made up of, what is it, 80% water, they say?
Oh, I think it's even more than that. But...
Yeah, well, it is most of the stuff that makes us up. But
yep.
going back to, you know, what came out of water, and we've talked before about the only thing for life is water and electricity. And with that, you can actually produce life. But it's through the water that it's the vehicle for the energies to actually move and to draw upon itself. But the water itself has a consciousness of its own. And even ourselves, so the way we communicate, it's through the water of our bodies.
Well,
and,
that article I read last night, which was the lecture by Manly Hall, stated that water was ocean was consciousness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that all of the what I found was fascinating was that the name Mary, Maria,
yes,
Isis, all right. Were and Mat, I believe, were all were meant water in all of these different cultures. It meant water. It stemmed from the Egyptian word water. All right? And so all of the mothers of mankind of creation have been all of the names of the mothers of creation all mean water.
Water. Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
blew me away when I read that, because it was all I mean, the ocean is consciousness, you know. The ocean is our consciousness, And
God's consciousness in motion.
It's our primordial mother. It's our primordial instinct. It's where we get all of life, all of health, all of everything that we are. Comes from the water, and
well,
when we look at the water, that's why
baptism is so significant.
Not only that, but it's why when you look at the water, when you look at an ocean, or you look at the water, any water, wherever you are, you immediately calm down. You immediately become calm. You immediately take on this heartbeat and rhythm of that water.
Yes, but Leo, the water is just a vehicle. For the consciousness that is moving it, it has to have a consciousness that moves it.
No, I understand that. No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that the icon of water, all right, the icon
yes.
of the ocean, all right, is what we respond to. I mean, there's nothing else in the world except the sky, and the sky. Seems to be limited next to the ocean. When you look at the ocean, the massive expanse of ocean before you, it's just water, and you're afloat or wherever you are, but you just are overcome by you almost feel like you're being immersed in
the
cosmos.
The sky is that way too.
The sky is too, but we're further away from the sky. You know what I mean? It can immerse you too, but it has to have sunlight. You have to have sunlight. But the ocean is just massive. And when you're on it, it's like nothing. There's no other sensation.
I agree with you.
Just,
I love the water.
It's just unbelievable. And Lila,
we live in a world of water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything around us is water. Even the air we breathe.
Yeah.
Mm.
Without it, we couldn't survive.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
And right from the organism, from the amoeba to man, you know, all came from the water. You know. And
then you could say that in itself is a unity that we all share.
Right.
All life. All things are the creator, if you'd want to call it that, who is behind the water in its conscious move. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, there's that flow. That's the, I think it was Manly Hall, again, said in one of his lectures that I read on the air, it was about the flow of, he said something to the effect that he believed in God because he understood the flow of energy, that God was the energy that flows in all living things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he,
I believe that.
Yeah, it was. It's like that's the energy flow. That's the battery, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to life. That's the unexplained common flow of energy that makes everything alive. And
well, that's right. But it's part of that. Just like a seed, has everything it needs to survive. This world, it has a blueprint and everything it needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything.
But water is the consciousness that makes that happen. I mean, you can have all the properties you need for an environment.
That's right.
But without a conscious move or a direction or an intent, you know, nothing's going to happen. But that's where water comes in, where water is our vehicle in all life and even in our thinking right now, because with water is the vehicle that attracts the matter or the molecular matter that we sustain in our illusion that we see as life. If nothing else, it's the water that's the paste that holds the electrons and the neutrons together to give it form.
Well, I have to say that in that lecture that I read last night,
mm-hmm.
it said that, and I got to this part, that water, it was the Buddhist concept of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
what ocean was, and the ocean was salted by the tears of the sorrows of the billions of people that lived.
Mm.
All right, it was by the tears of the billions of souls that suffered on the earth and
mm-hmm.
cried, and they said that they saw the depths of the ocean, how people everything is unknown. I mean, we know our land and we know our sky more than we know our own the depths of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
They're just discovering these strange creations, and he said, and he went on to say that how the ocean is almost like a blank slate of how we can create. We, whatever comes, it's like creation after creation, and it's like the dreams out of your own imagination.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, yeah.
It's like depth and blackness, okay, in the depths of the ocean. It's deep, dark, and black, but yet they have their own electrical systems on these fish.
And there are creatures
there are creatures that live in this darkness. And they come at and only once they're exposed to a light, you know, you see these horrendous or strange, bizarre creatures that live in the dark of the, and it's just like how our consciousness is in the depths of our consciousness. You know, there are these creatures, the good, bad, or indifferent. But
there's
there
just
these
no
creatures.
Light in there. That's all.
Right. And
now that's if you have a negative connotation of salt, and what salt is.
What I love though is I love that analogy because man, it really made you. It was a very interesting one. And you know there was something else the Buddhist had which was really beautiful. It was in another article or essay about the Pure Land they called it. And this is where everybody went after they died when they got
like heaven.
Yeah, this is their heaven. And all souls that enter Pure Land. Are innocent souls that are placed inside a lotus flower, right, and sleep within a lotus flower. Right?
That's such a beautiful
flower. Isn't it a beautiful? Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And a a beautiful vision, because when you arrive into Pure Land, okay, which are all the souls that have managed to survive Earth and risen, then they all become.
Have a beautiful sleep in a lotus flower.
And they're tiny, and they're infants, like babies, like infant souls, innocent souls, resting in lotus flowers. All right, and that's how they enter. I mean, it's a wonderful, beautiful analogy, you know, and vision. And then it goes on to explain even more beautiful stuff. I mean, I have to say, George, and I attribute this to you because you gave me those lectures.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I mean, they've just been a blessing, you know, for an understanding. I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know where it's going to lead us, George. But man, it sure has led us on it's been interesting.
Well, yeah. I think it's just knowledge now that's more open to the public than it was. When was that written? Back in the 60s?
70s and 80s. Yeah, right.
80s, yeah. Well, it's some good information, but I think it's all falling in right now. What we're learning. And, you know, the lecture that you read from last night was very good because it had all the... all the technical knowledge, but also the emotional understanding.
Yeah.
Very powerful, very powerful.
That was Manly Hall, and I swear, I was overwhelmed when I read it, and I still had difficulty. I had to stop, like, about page 5-6. I couldn't go any further.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, because I just said I have to go through this, you know, and...
it's a lot to cover.
And the hour was already up, yeah.
You mentioned... what the bleep do we know earlier?
Yeah.
And there was a small bit in there by a Dr. Emoto in his work with water crystals.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it's something that I've been working with in psychotronics from the early 90s and waters and energies and so forth. I mean, understand water, you have the polarity of the molecular structure inside of it. But water is the giver of life, but also the most deadliest substance around. And understand, oxygen is an oxygizer. What it does is it actually destroys or disintegrates. So understand there's a corrosive element to water that is controlled by a conscious understanding of giving life through oxygen, you know, through our blood supply. Or destroying something, or you know, completing it, or disevolving, you know, the molecular breakdown. So, water is it's a giver of life, but is a strange property that has a mind of its own, and if nothing else, it's a unity, let's say, God consciousness behind it. But if you take that one step further. Into your own personal life and connect with, let's say, the water consciousness that's inside of you that is separate from the outside world or from other the creatures.
Hey, we got Anthony on the line here. Let's see what he's got to tell us. Hey, Anthony, you with us?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm doing really good. Tonight I had a chance to rest from all the activity. Hey, Lila.
How are you?
I'm great. I haven't missed you all. I've been listening to all the podcasts, so thank you for missing me. I miss you all just as much.
Well, I checked out your show, and even though I'm not home during that time, I knew that you were still doing your show, so I knew you were okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I guess there are no coincidences. Hey, George.
Yes. I miss you, my friend.
I miss you all too. There are no coincidences, you know. You're talking about water and the what the bleep do you know and everything.
Yeah.
I had no idea what you were talking about. I just woke up from a nap, but that stuff. I don't even remember the name of the stuff. The MSN material, the miracle cure. It's great. It's great. It seems to work okay, but I did get sick, so you know I took it and I. I recovered, so I don't. I honestly, I mean, I don't have a have a thumbs up or a thumbs down, because it seems to be mainly based off of malaria data and cure and the cure of malaria. So,
okay.
Since I don't have malaria, I can't give you a thumbs up or thumbs down. But it seems to be to reduce the bio burden.
Now, within a couple of weeks, you're supposed to be to have better teeth and good gums.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I excuse me, didn't even notice. I have to take a look in the mirror and check here. Hold on.
Well,
yeah.
Good to hear your voice again, my friend.
Yeah.
But anyway, the lotus flower, that's a wonderful analogy, but at the same time, it's symbolism. You have to remember that Buddhists, they speak symbolically. And the lotus flower blooms and it seeds at the same time, showing the simultaneity within cause and effect. You know, once you make a cause, simultaneously the effect is manifest. So the symbolism of a person when they pass away sleeping inside of a lotus flower basically shows us the essence of your life is the simultaneity of cause and effect, and that's the true essence of your being manifests from that causality.
But the image also that they give you is that you're like a baby again. You're not. You're an infant.
Your
soul is cleansed. Mm-hmm. And the place that you go to is called Pure Land. That's what their that's where their heaven is. And
yeah,
Pure Land.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. But you know, there aren't two lands, pure or impure in themselves. Really, the difference lies in the good and evil of our minds, and that's one of the that's just saying that ourselves and our environments are absolutely inseparable, and it's our mind that in our consciousness that makes the difference in the quality of our environment.
There you go, and this is the original intent.
But it was
come with your mind or come with your heart.
but it was a beautiful analogy, and it was it raised my consciousness to a level. It was something that it was like it seemed almost it almost seemed silly at first when I read it, and yet I grasped onto it and I said but it was a vision that stayed with me. After I read the thing, and I continued to carry it, because that image of the of all souls returning to an infant status, and like a baby, you know, like a newborn, but sleeping in a lotus flower, along this river, I forget the name of the river that they had. But it was a life, you know, river of life, and it was like it grew up in these lotus flowers were coming up at the edge of this river in a marsh, okay, like a blessed marsh or something, and that's how you were, that's how you entered Pure Land, okay, and then you went on then you developed further in another consciousness. And it was an absolutely brilliant thing. And it blew me away. The images blew me away so much that I had to stop. Not that I had to stop, but I couldn't read the whole. There was 11 pages to his lecture, and I could only get to the fifth or sixth one. And that happened to me twice. The first time I tried to get through it, I stopped at the same place with the same images. And the second time I read that, the one on the oceans, I wound up stopping at the very same place because of the content of those lectures, as well as the visions that he was putting forth, and being connected. I could sense the whole idea of being connected to the ocean, and the ocean being the icon of consciousness and being being everything.
Now, Leo, you're gonna do the second part of that next Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. I'll read the next.
Yeah,
part.
No, I'm gonna. I liked the first one, and I may listen to it again. But it was some very good reading, very good material.
Oh, wasn't it good? Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was.
It just blows me away, this guy, and this Manly P. Hall. If you can pick up his lectures, George gave me, I should say gave me, he lent me these wonderful essays, lectures, and Manly Hall had done over 8,000 essays.
It blows my mind away how productive this man is.
They're not just essays, but they were actually live lectures that he gave at the Philosophical Research Societies every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Anthony?
Yes.
Sorry, yes,
George.
Can you see the unity, a unity consciousness in the water that we've been talking about?
100%. It's just interesting. On March 23rd, I had one of the world's authorities on water. His name is William E. Marks on my show. I sent you the link. Mm-hmm. And when he speaks on water, the Mikhail Gorbachev and Kofi Annan and many of the world leaders listen. And he basically just broke it down to the simple fact that our world's relationship and our society's relationship with water holds the key to the survival of mankind, and that's just the bottom line. And water is consciousness. He also talked about some of the absolute latest discoveries that, and I can't even repeat it, basically water is a mysterious, they still don't understand it, and it is, the more they study it, the more mysterious it is. And it is, bottom line, seems to be, like you said, either the vehicle with which consciousness manifests or consciousness itself. And they also have discovered water in the earlier, in the earliest parts of the Big Bang. That's researchable online as well.
Yeah. Now, what Dr. Emoto found, that the water itself will sustain consciousness or a conscious thought, and basically,
yes, non-locally.
Yes, non-locally. But what it would do is that it would alter. It can alter itself to harmonize with a thought, and it will resonate until until its energy is depleted. But water is programmable, if you'd want to call it that. You can program water, and by programming is by connecting your thoughts to the water molecule itself.
Well, he showed that it changed the molecular structure, whether it was, when it was a negative thought.
Yes, or negative itself, just like in purifying water. What he did do is that he took purified water and fed it into a water reservoir, and what it did do is it changed the molecular structure of the polluted water into clear water or good water. And it's just being around the water or being connected with the water that the water was able to do this.
That's true. It is amazing.
What he found is that he would have subjects concentrate on a water a bead of water. And what he would do is that he would freeze that water, and it would form a crystal. It will take a crystalline structure.
Uh-huh.
And by looking at the structure itself and the purity of the structure, he can tell what type of thought form went into the water itself.
That's
because,
amazing.
Excuse me?
It's truly amazing.
Yes, yes. And this is what he found with water. But the water is just a vehicle for the thought. And what connects us with water is our conscious mind, just our attention, our focus. Years ago when I went through surgery, I had and in trying to help my body heal, from the recover from this,
yep.
What I did do is I used water as a vehicle for me to connect with my body. I mean, I talk with myself every day. Don't get me wrong, but I think
George, I'm not really clear with how you're saying you used water as a vehicle to heal
okay.
yourself. Could you explain that a little?
All right. Yeah. What I did is there's the water within my body, or let's say the blood within my body, is
okay.
water. And it's using the water as a vehicle, let's say, to send thoughts of healing or energies or whatever my body needs for it to heal properly, to do what it has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, I would concentrate on the blood or the water in my body, and the water over a period of time will reach all parts of my body. And
right.
If not relay the message, but what it would do is that when it connects with a, you know, with the area, you know, it would do a little extra work or whatever it has to do to heal me.
So let me see if I understand you correctly. So in your mind, you formed a positive thought, say, heal and be strong or something like that, and you sent that message to the water or the blood in your body, and that thought helped heal you.
Well, yes, it helped in my healing, if not only in my own mind, but you know, it's not sending positive thoughts to my body or telling my body positive thoughts, because I don't know how the energy needs to be used, you know, in my body. You know, the energy could be used to, you know, kill or to get rid of old cells that have to be destroyed and then carried out and thrown away. And there's also the good cells that have to be produced. So for me to tell my body, you know, what is good and what is bad, I just say whatever energy you need, you take from the cosmos or from the cosmos of my body and use it. You know, how you use it is your business without judging, you know, what is good and what is bad.
Oh,
and, you know, it's like with healing. I pray for a lot of people for healing and so forth, but one thing I do is I ask them personally, you know, if they would mind me praying for them, because what I'm doing is that I'm interfering with them, or I'm intruding on them by my own thoughts. And, you know, I could pray for somebody to feel better and get up and walk. But, you know, maybe that's not what the healing is, what's needed in the healing. Maybe they need that time of being off their feet, you know, to experience that. So, you know, what I do is I ask them if they would like me to pray for them. If they say yes, then I pray for whatever help they need from the outside world or energy God has to give. Please direct it, you know, there.
I understand now what you're saying. It's very clear, George. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like with my own body, too. I can't judge what is good and what is bad in a sense, because my body knows better than I do. When I say better than I do, in my mind, you know, I'm not really connected with the rest of my body like my body is or like my heart is. So
the judgment out, you're just saying to God, I pray for the energy that I need.
And God, take care of your creature here. I'm just, yeah, but, you know, it's drawing an understanding or a belief in your thinking, and water, it will attach, or water will take that as a vehicle, or with its vehicle of momentum, and take it to where it needs to go.
I see. I understand that now. That makes sense to me. Thank you. I was trying to understand what you were saying, but I was trying to make a rational decision with my mind, and you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's why it wasn't working. I was thinking, how does this work? Okay, I get it now. Yes. Thank you.
I don't understand.
Oh, I...
You know, one of... Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, you know...
Oh, what you were talking about.
You don't?
I lost it.
Oh, I could, well, that's because you were looking something up. He was looking up one of Manly Hall's lectures.
I was concentrating on it, but I was looking up the wonders of ocean, which is what we had originally were talking about.
You know, we take so much for granted that we don't think that what we think affects everything around us.
Like
and you know, you may not say something, but just the emotions that you give off, another person would pick up those feelings or those energies.
Yeah.
And you know, Lila, you talked about the schools for remote viewing.
Yeah.
Right now, the sensitivity that we're experiencing, we don't need a school because things are activated and we are experiencing these things. But the problem is that you're trying to live a programmed life that doesn't include the fantasy world of things going spooky at night. So you know it's a lot of things that we're experiencing right now, and who's to say that you know it could be a part of what we're experiencing that are driving people crazy because they don't know what is right and what is wrong. They're being stimulated by both ends, up and down, and you know I just feel bad for the American people right now with the economy the way it is, and losing so many jobs. I don't know how many thousands of jobs we lose every day, but
millions and millions and millions.
But I think
jobs,
you know,
already.
If people had something to grab a hold of that they could really understand, that's universal, it would bring people a lot of peace.
Yeah, but you know, you don't have to understand something to have it happen. It's just like, you see, there's two ways of experiencing, either programming it or just letting it happen. And instead of thinking things out or a direction to follow, which is tedious and mind exhausting, your other avenue to get to the same place would be just feel it. Just feel the feelings of it, and it will take you there and through its own course. So instead of thinking things through or feeling things through, and it's a lot easier to feel things through because you can use your imaginations and have fun with it.
Well, I think it's hard for people sometimes to do that because we've been programmed and schooled to not do that, and that's what gets in the way.
Well, but also remember, there's a time for to put school behind you and get on with life instead of dealing with what other people experience instead of your own.
Well, I agree 100%, but that brainwashing is pretty firm, I think, for a lot of us.
Our thoughts do matter.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do, and that's one of the greatest lessons that Water has told us. You know, it's... You know, just the attitude of gratitude, you know, the vibration of gratitude and how water just imprints it without us even, you know, touching it across, you know, literally across, you know, on the other side of the world, you can affect the crystalline structure of water, and that's one of the greatest lessons that we really can take away from it is that our vibrational energy, our thoughts, because we are energetic beings, our thoughts truly are matter, and they do affect, like George says, everything around us. Can I say something? Like tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we're going to gather in this consciousness pavilion online and affect the world collectively using our thoughts. We're going to meet in Cyrus World. That's CYRESWORLD, Cyrus World, in the land of law of attraction in the consciousness pavilion, and you know you'll understand it once you get there. But it's a great project, and it's actually based and developed by some of the people that did What the Bleep Do You Know. So there are no coincidences And that's just one of the wonderful things that have manifest as a result of our this work really here. It's interconnected to all this because if
right.
it wasn't for you, George, you know, I wouldn't even have walked some of the pathways that I'm walking in. That whole consciousness meditation that's happening tomorrow on 4-4 at 12 o'clock is a result of some of your inspiration.
Oh, well, thank you for, you know, identifying with that. But, you know, Anthony, this is information that you already know. I'm just reminding you that you do know it, then you got to touch base with it, and you have.
So, Anthony, what's the website that you go to?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Cyrus. It's an act. Yeah, it's Create Your Reality Experience Self. CYRES, CyrusWorld.com. You have to create yourself a little avatar, a three-dimensional self, you know, basically, and meet there. You'll see, it's a new way of communicating and
yeah. CyrusWorld. It's one of those avatar games, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of like it's been compared to like a Sims world, but for consciousness creation.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Cool.
Cyrus, C-Y-R-E-S, Cyrus World.
Yeah.
It's out of Belgium. You'll see.
Oh, okay.
We'll check it out. Yeah, we'll check it out tonight.
and see what it's like.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, but see, the biggest thing is that we're doing these intention, it's, you know, like the Lynn McTaggart intention experiments, where we're basically affecting our world with collective consciousness, and they are real, this is a real scientific experiment that's backed up by real hard data, and it is working. So our thoughts do matter. I'm speaking from the heart and from truth.
Great.
Yeah. Wow. That's
well, we'll check that out tonight.
Absolutely.
And see what it is. And I thank you for sharing that with us, Anthony.
I had to because, you know, it seems as if everything's stringing together. You talked about what the bleep do you know. These people that are doing this consciousness experiments are behind some of that project. And then you were talking about water and, you know, everything's just all works together fluidly. No pun intended.
Yeah.
It sure does.
Well, we got about a minute left before we end our stream here, it seems. But
if nothing we can agree upon, it is one thing that we all have in unity together,
mm-hmm.
and it's if nothing else, it's the primer or it's a bridge that we have that doesn't separate us, but it connects us.
If anybody out there would like to join us before we've got 46 seconds left. please give us a call at our call number, and we'll be happy to put you right on. It's the call number is 646-915-9505. So I hope you, if you want to check it out, we got 29 seconds. So it's 646-915-9505 if you'd like to continue with the conversation or you have anything you'd like to ask George or Anthony or us. And otherwise, we got 16, 14, 13, 12 seconds left for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say goodnight to everybody who's out there who doesn't join us. And Anthony and George, you can hang on for a few minutes. And let's see, 1 second. And,
well, good night, folks.
Oh, we're on. No, it's fine. We're set.
There
we're
we
still
go.
On, George.
It's just that it's not going out
we're,
over
we're
the.
Not
we're not
anymore,
streaming.
Yet.
That's all.
Yeah.
Andy. Anthony, I have a thought, a question for you. With the group tomorrow, the group consciousness, what would be some of the thoughts that you would send out or would be sent out? What kind of thoughts could you send out for healing or uniting people?
Yeah, I'm not guiding the meditation. It's going to be a guided meditation session with, I'm sure, all of the above healing. Some of it, a lot, like last time, for example, we got together and there was a drought in the Australian outback and rain actually came. And the rain came because we imagined feeling the rain instead
That's
of
right.
thinking
mm-hmm.
about the rain. We yeah. collectively felt the rain, and actually the rain finally did come 20-something hours later. And then there was also an intention experiment done with the when we had the droughts in Georgia last summer, and we did the same process, and the rains came. You know, coincidences, who cares? It seems to have worked, so... tomorrow's guided meditation, I'm not doing it. I'm just a participant. So
mm-hmm. What kind of thoughts can you think of? Or what kind of focus thoughts can you think of that would be helpful?
I like to feel. I like to feel peace, George. You know, the peace that I feel in my heart. I like to resonate that to specific areas that are troubled. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, right now I don't really watch a bunch of media. So, unfortunately, I just kind of resonate that peace in my heart and just see it emanating from within my heart space like a blanket around the world, and however that works, I don't know, but it's just an intention that I do.
Send it out there, and wherever it's needed, it takes it, you know, and it serves whoever needs it. And I guess that's a good way to do it. Send it out anonymously, you know, and just.
it's the whole principle of prayer that churches have. That's a collective consciousness. People praying for souls, or people praying for things to get better in the world. But I don't think that I believe that people don't always understand what prayer is and why it works.
It's like a few weeks back, three or four weeks ago, I did a tarot card reading for a fellow on my show, and on Thursday night, and after the reading, I sensed that there was somebody else in the audience who was listening. I said, I'm going to do a 3-card lay on this tarot reading, and you know, I sense there's somebody out there that this is responding to that wants a reading but hasn't called in. So let me just do this, and then anonymously, and I read it. I read the 3 cards, and this listener immediately emailed me and said, that was, you were reading me. That's exactly what happened, you know. And I gave her a private reading after the show, but over the phone.
She recognized herself.
But I felt something, and I said, this has to be said. And she immediately identified herself. you know, and that was, and she verified that. So it was. That's what you're doing there, Anthony. But you're sending out your own vibration.
Anthony,
I'm here. I think George. Excuse me, Mr. Steele kind of died away.
Yeah.
You know what? We had.
They're fading in and out.
No, that's okay. We had somebody call.
Well,
you're on. No, it's not. It's a private caller or something.
If I could say something, you know, in praying, you know, I remember last week talking about those poor people up in Dakota who were devastated by the flooding.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, my heart really went out to them.
Oh, mine too.
But, you know, on a group basis right now, you know, I still pray for them, but what I pray for is I pray for the good time to be had by all, by, you know, meeting all these different people that they encountered in this emergency, and how, you know, just the love of living and working together is going to bring them closer together, if not with churches and so forth. But, you know, it's praying not for anything other than just them meeting together and having pie and coffee and cake and remember this and remember that. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's fighting the war and winning.
There was an interview that one of the television news shows did briefly. It was I think it was the mayor of the town or somebody of Fargo. And he was saying that, you know, he was talking about Fargo, and he says he couldn't believe what wonderful...
The outpouring of people.
Saved this community. He says it's just like they had over 5,000 volunteers come from everywhere.
It's amazing.
To build those dams. And he said, and as he was talking, he started to choke up, and he couldn't continue. He just started to cry because he was so grateful.
Yeah.
All these people that saved their homes, you know. Out of nowhere, you know, they didn't, you know, just people just out of the kindness of their heart. So, and I think that's what's happening, George. I think people are starting to realize that, you know, their fellow citizen or their brother is hurting. You know what I mean? So,
well, what they're what people are experiencing, things that are real and things that are imaginary, just like this war over there in the Middle East and so forth. It's not that people aren't dying; they are. It's not that it's in imaginary, but it's contrived by people for power, and it's over nothing but important. But the war that is real is us against nature surviving. And if nothing else, we won that war in Dakota. And yet, right now, that is a war worth fighting, worth living, but it has its good portions too. And if nothing else, bringing people together for what is real and what isn't real, what is war worthy and what isn't. And I'm just glad that they came out of it with
me too.
Less damage.
And George, I'm gonna say goodnight because I'm packing to leave tomorrow. Yeah, but you guys continue in your conversation and think of me while I'm flying tomorrow.
I will. God be with you, dear.
She'll be connected to this thought process at noon.
That's when I land tomorrow. I land in Washington tomorrow at noon. But I'm interested in that site, and I'd like to go, and I'm going to check it out. And thank you for sharing that, Anthony, and have a wonderful week. And, George, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, God be with you, dear.
Great to hear from you again there, Anthony.
Yes, bye, Lila.
Oh, we had lost you there for a while.
Oh, no, I'm sitting here. You haven't lost me at all. I've been with you every week.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Been with you absolutely every week. That's the only way you lose me. There's no, we're entangled. That's just the bottom line. We're entangled at the electron level. My question though, George, is why do you think our world is, or our mankind is so blind to the fact that water really does hold the key to the relationship of our to peace? It holds the key to everything. If we could resolve our world water problems, we could have, things would be better,
Well, what do you mean by water problems, Anthony?
Well, the relationship, like polluting it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Water is sacred. It really is sacred,
yes.
Because it's life. Water is life. And when we violate water, we're violating the sanctity of life.
Well, yes. But it, I don't think water takes it personal.
No, not water itself. I'm talking the attitude and the relationship the man has as a society as a whole towards water, mm-hmm. and how we're polluting it in the rivers. We're we don't take care of our water resources, and why is it? It's such a simple solution.
Yeah, but you know what you're saying, Anthony, is exactly the same thing. Why we don't take care of ourselves, why we don't take care of our bodies, why we don't take care of our minds, why we don't, it's the same reason we don't take care of our some people take care of their water, some people take care of, like yourself, take care of your mind and take care of your, your body, but masses, and I'm talking masses of the great mass of people in this world, do not, and that's a tragedy, and that's why.
And why is that? Why can we not implement institutions from the time that we're children to educate our societies the importance of that?
I think it's
because it would build a resistance between you and the relationship with water.
And not only that, I think it's because we take for granted. Well, we take life for granted. We take it for granted, and we take the world for granted, our existence for granted. It's like it's there, It's like okay, so but you don't realize that it's there. But it's also a blessing to be here, wherever there is, there. It's a blessing to be there, to be alive, and to do the best that you can with life. It's a many lives, if that's what happens for you, but the chance to go, to be able to be born, a chance to live, and a chance to live as well as possible as you possibly can, whether you're going through a karmic adjustment or whatnot, but just the fact that you're living again gives you the opportunity to live well, and then or to escape to ascend. You know, it gives you a chance to ascend to a higher consciousness. And that's essentially where we want to be. I know that's where you guys already are. And
where you would use another vehicle for operation, but that, you know, let's say separate from water. But water is just a vehicle. That's all. The water.
But I see it more as an analogy too, or an allegory to an allegory, because you know water is us. So if we defile water, we defile ourselves. And if we defile our environment, we defile ourselves. So, you know, it would only make sense that if we want to be better beings, okay, in the universe, we should respect the earth, respect the water supplies, respect ourselves, respect others, and respect their bodies, and maybe we'll live better and longer.
The problem is that we've been told we're separate.
You can say she left, but she came back, and she
we've been told we're separate. That it only matters what we do for ourselves. We're alone, and that's not true. We're all one. We're all together, and we're all united. But people don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you took away their water, they'll cease to exist.
Well, you take away their beer, and they go crazy.
That's only the rednecks now.
But that Delilah hit the nail on the head. You know, that duality consciousness is going to the wayside, and the people that maintain that duality existence are not going to survive now. Because that was my question too, George. We're in this sixth day.
Yes, yes.
How does the attitude of people that maintain a duality consciousness resonate with the sixth day?
Well, when you say resonate,
resonate
the duality consciousness.
Yes.
Well, it's neutralizing that duality for the purpose and the direction, and that's what's put into motion right now as the intent. It's past the duality figure where here it's taken the energy of the power that was learned and combining them together and going forward. It's like with water. Water is good and bad, but yet water doesn't have it works under both conditions.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer it at this point.
Well, maybe we could. Maybe that's enough for tonight. I think we're stumbling on our words here.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, water is the essence of life, and right now it's a unity factor that we all share. If nothing else, it's common ground.
Well, I'm going to refer everybody to the show that I did last night on the oceans, wonders of ocean, and then we can. I'm going to read the second half of that lecture next week, next Thursday night. So, you know, maybe then by then people will catch up to it. You know, we'll all be on the same page.
There's so much advancements in technology and science and physics that you know it goes beyond what Manley had to say, where actually you know it finds the truth. Or the understanding, just like Dr. Emoto has found through his research, how water has a consciousness.
No, I'm not saying what I'm saying is what I like about Manly Hall.
Yes,
is the way he said it. Doesn't
yes,
but you know the way that he described it. I mean, it was. He's a communicator. You know, he was able to communicate that to me. You know, and enlighten my thought process because of that.
Well, so, right brain thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Right brain, left brain, you know, down the drain.
But see, that is how water moves through the emotional body,
yeah.
Through the emotions of the earth, the physical nature. That's why you're drawing upon Mary and the female female energies.
No, I felt compelled to read these on the air, and because they were so, I felt they were remarkably significant works, and should be, you know, better known. You know what I mean? I never
good
heard
reading,
of,
Leo. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Some real good reading.
Yeah, so thank you. But guys, I want to thank you guys for both. And Anthony, I'm really glad to hear. I know George is too.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back there and talking with us. And I hope that thing goes well for you on tomorrow.
No worries.
Yeah, because Lila's going to be landing in Washington D.C. there at noontime tomorrow. So,
wonderful, John. Our prayers will be with her. And if you get a chance to look into the archive of my 23 March show, that was the Water Voices from Around the World.
23, okay, it sounds good.
It's all about water.
Okay, March 23rd show, okay.
Mm-hmm. All about water.
Okay. Anthony, God bless you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Blessings to you, too. You all
and
have
Leo,
a wonderful talk tonight.
I'll catch you next week.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Okay.
So thanks, both of you guys, and have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and hope that you had a good time doing so. And please check out Anthony's show, 6 Degrees, and you can get that 6 Degrees/2009. Yeah. Just go on 6 Degrees, and it says, and look for his March 23rd, 09 show. And I'm going to be doing that very soon, so I hope you enjoy it. And check out last night's show, so that which is April 4th, and or 3rd, rather. Today's the 4th. Check out April 3rd, and you'll find that will be that's where I began the essay on. By Manly Hall's Wonders of Ocean, and it's the ocean as consciousness. Brilliant essay, and we'll be talking about that again, reading the rest of that lecture next Thursday night. So I want to thank you again, and have a pleasant evening.